What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And buddy, it is Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Final hour of the day, final hour of the week, final hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you as we roll through Friday, gotta get down on Friday. We have been all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. We have talked some college football. We had one of two national semifinals go down last night. The Penn State Nittany Lions fall to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who move on to the national championship game. They await the winner of this evening's semifinal contest between Ohio State University and the Texas Longhorns. We gave you our predictions and prognostications in the last segment of the show. I'm going the Buckeyes with the win and the 6.5 point cover in this one. That is not to say that I think that Texas won't score some points. I do.
I didn't give you mine. I mean, you said we.
But yes.
I just said I was nervous. That's all. I'm just saying. I didn't get a chance to get my score.
Have at thee, Zoe. Your final score, Ohio State wins by what margin?
2.
Ooh, no cover for the Buckeyes. No cover for the horse chestnuts. Might
even by, as we get closer to 7:30, it might even be by 1. I don't know. I'm just really nervous. I just am.
I think this game's interesting, like I pointed out a little while ago.
I want to be wrong. I hope they win by like 21. I think that would be awesome.
I don't think it's going to be that much.
That would make my household very happy.
Well, I'm sure that it would.
Yes.
My wife would be
ecstatic.
Exactly. Yeah. All I care about in your household is Miss Lisa's happiness. As long as she's good with it, I'm good with it.
Snow outside, fire in a fireplace, victory by the Buckeyes, very happy wife.
Horse chestnuts lighting, the horns on fire. That's pretty good. I came up that on the fly. That's pretty good. I'll take Ohio State. We got a Buckeye-Irish national championship game lined up, if I am correct. We were both wrong about yesterday's contest. But I will also point out, barely, because we both said Penn State in a close one.
All right, so for all the conspiracy theorists out there, what would the powers that be prefer? An Ohio State victory or a Texas victory?
The conspiracy theorists are going to say the horns, but here's the reality.
They might say Therius in Britain.
They might. Mike Tyson would say it when he really means something. He'd be like, "Yo, I'm Therius."
That was good. I really enjoyed that.
Hashtag nailed it.
Not a dad joke. A Tyson joke.
I think you would say the horns, right? I think you would say the horns. I think you would say the SEC team. But I would also point out that the Big Ten brings in the dollar bills, y'all, as well. The question mark is, how much power, if you're a conspiracy theorist, and you are very theorist about it, the question mark would be, how much sway does... Because ESPN wants the horns in, right? ESPN wants the SEC team in. Question is, do they have the sway over getting a Big Ten team in? That would be... I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm saying that would be the conspiracy... You know what the hell I'm saying.
I think the marquee matchup would be Ohio State versus Notre Dame.
Texas, they
played really well all year, but I still think they were not a story. Were they?
Oh, yeah, they were story.
Yeah.
You have, if nothing else.
Except for someone was a deputy on the Dr. Pepper commercial. That's about it.
He was. And also, that backup quarterback that they got down there in Austin, Texas, he's kind of a story, too. In fact, we had a texter earlier in the show ask, is tonight the night we see the Arch Manning takeover? If the horns go down to the horse chestnuts early, is tonight the night we see the official flip over to Arch Manning? And the answer is maybe, because we have seen an increased amount of Arch Manning the last couple of games. And I could see them getting into a spot where you suddenly look up, they're down 14. Arch comes in, maybe has a good, because Arch is a better runner than Quinn Ewers, right? Arch comes in, he pops one off the outside edge, and all of a sudden Steve Sarkisian goes, that's my spot. Here's what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in, Lonzo, is the coaching matchup. Because I've been saying all year, like I'm not a big Sark guy. I think Sark is a good coach. I think Sark's a real good coach. I also think Sark is a guy that has, throughout his career, been pretty heavily carried by talent. I think he's been carried significantly by talent. And I think he's been, to some degree, carried by talent this year. I think he's a good coach. Let me be very clear. I think he's a good coach. My question mark is, does Ohio State look like this in the playoffs because Ryan Day has taken on more responsibility? Or does Ohio State look like this in the playoffs because Chip Kelly fixed it? I genuinely don't know the answer to that question. Will we get the answer to that question tonight? I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe. If we see, and to be honest with you, the answer to that even is if we're keeping it a buck, the answer to that is also probably no. Like, I doubt we are going to be able to walk out of tonight's game and go, okay, that team has Ryan Day fingerprints on it. I told Lonzo just a little while ago. Like,
and see, by the way, I disagree, because I think these last two games do have Ryan Day's fingerprints on them.
It feels like Chip Kelly to me. It feels like the offense the last couple of games has looked more like what I am used to seeing, expect to see out of Chip Kelly being Chip Kelly. That's what it feels like to me. But I could be wrong about that. But we've talked about that one at length. If you want to get your predictions, prognostications in about tonight's game, you're welcome to do it. 844-326-3663. That is the call-in and text-in number, 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the show this AM. I will say this about the game tonight. It is exactly what I said about the game last night going in. I think this game, to me, and pardon me being, I mean, astronomically cliche here, I think this game is about conviction. I think this game is about, as the old saying goes, dancing with the girl who brought you. I think this game is about doing what you have done to get here. If you are Ohio State, it is about being a high-octane offense. It is about taking risk with the offense, getting the ball down the field with the offense. If you stop doing that, if this team reverts to what they did against Michigan, I think you get into trouble. I think if you go, oh, yeah, we got a couple of really good running backs, we're going to lean on them. Well, that's what screwed you. That's what got you in trouble in that Michigan game. That's what got Ryan Day to a point that Michigan fans, being absolutely and entirely completely ridiculous top to bottom, wanted him fired for. If this Buckeye team reverts to that in this game, that's how Texas wins the game.
All right, I have a Will Howard question for you. Has he improved his stock? And if he's able to do what he's done these first two playoff games, the rest of the way through the national championship, has he moved up some spots in the draft?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I wouldn't say like, oh, he's taken, you know, Carson Beck's spot at this point. I don't know that I'm ready to go quite that far.
No, Beck is not.
Well, you know, because Carson Beck left that spot. Not take the spot that Carson Beck has.
By the way,
vacated.
I read an article a little bit earlier that said Ohio State also interested in Carson Beck. We'll see. Has he moved ahead of any of the other quarterbacks coming out for the draft?
I don't know. I'm ready to go far. Let's keep it a buck. He's played two really good games. He had some good games.
I disagree. He's had really good games all season. He's played two great games.
He has played two great games.
Last couple of times.
I can't argue with that. And I also think because of that, to some degree, this is why I keep going on and on about Chip Kelly.
I mean, he came to Ohio State obviously to get the exposure from playing at that team for these stakes, and at least the last couple of weeks he has stepped it up.
I don't disagree. Will Howard has been a revelation, and again, to kind of hammer down the point one more time again, I would also say that Chip Kelly has catered the offense to Will Howard, which, though, I don't necessarily think was the case earlier in the year. I think Will Howard was good enough, but I don't think the offense was tailored to him. And I think you kind of hit the spot here with Chip Kelly. I think you've kind of hit the spot here with Chip Kelly where you have started to go, okay, like we need to start working with this guy. We need to start running an offense that he can succeed in. I think you flipped over to that, and all of a sudden, that's a large part of the reason why it is that we are talking about Will Howard the way that we are talking about Will Howard now. So, you know, we'll see. I'm intrigued to find out. With the play call, Ohio State's play calling is the game tonight. You said earlier you think it's on the defense. I don't disagree. I think you got to keep Texas. You got to hold Texas to a bunch of field goals. You hold Texas to a bunch of field goals. You got a real good shot at doing something here.
It should not be our running game versus their running game. It should not be. Ohio State needs to do what they've been doing the last couple of weeks.
I mean, I'm good with that.
You can mix in some running game, but you got to let Will Howard hit Jeremiah Smith, hit the guys that are out there and more than likely open.
I'm real good with that. I think that top to bottom, when I look at what the Buckeyes have done in these playoffs so far, I think the offense has been tailored to Will Howard. I think Jeremiah Smith has been a revelation. And when Jeremiah Smith became a revelation, what happened to the run game? Now, all of a sudden, because remember, football at its core is, as an offense, I want to get more dudes to a spot where they got dudes. And as a defense, I want to funnel the ball to where I'm going to have more dudes. I want to use my defensive ends to set an edge and keep them from getting somewhere. I want to get to a spot with my linebackers that if anybody out of the backfield ends up with the football, I know where it's going because I'm making them go there. And once I have done these things, then I feel like I got the opportunity to make a tackle behind the line of scrimmage or stop them from getting a big game or a big gain or whatever. And if I can pull that off, if I can make that happen, then I think that's how you win football games. So when Ohio State tailored their offense to Will Howard, when Ohio State found Jeremiah Smith, and when you did both of these things and you opened up the field for your running backs, all of a sudden, this team looks like an entirely different
football
team.
Looking at the rushing stats on ESPN, and Trevion Henderson, 925 yards on the season. Quinshon Judkins, 924.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And they both have 10 touchdowns.
I think that there is a...
So this was basically, more than likely, you would consider it a running team for the majority of the season. You don't have that many yards unless you're really going up against, as someone would say, cupcakes the entire season.
Which I'm not saying you guys haven't done, with the exception of Oregon and
Excuse
Penn
me,
State.
Big Ten had two teams in the Final Four.
That is true.
You know,
that is true.
Had more teams in the 12 than any other conference.
Have I ever said you're a bad conference, or have I said you're an exceptionally top-heavy conference? Because everybody outside of those three teams we're talking about wasn't good. Like, wasn't good. And that's why I've said top heavy. I'm not trying to minimize the accomplishments of Iowa State. What I'll say is it has been a largely balanced offense. And then all of a sudden in these playoffs, now the Buckeyes are explosive.
I forgot to mention Jeremiah Smith has had 1,224 yards this year.
Oh, he's a dog.
And Abuka had 896.
Another dog.
Yeah.
Not busting up. This team is good. This is why it was so shocking to me that you guys lost to Michigan. Because there was, and I will say this as somebody who has repeatedly defended Ryan Day from the lunatic Michigan Ohio State fans who wanted him fired after the loss to Michigan. This team's good.
Hey, you're sounding like Kirk Herbstreit now. You need to back up.
No, listen, if anybody doesn't want to sound like Kirk Herbstreit over the last year and a half, it's me. Kirk was right about this. If you wanted Ryan Day gone, you don't know ball, brother. That's all it comes down to. And now the dude is kind of rubbing your nose a little bit in it. And if he wins tonight, he's definitely rubbing your nose a little bit in it. Yeah, you don't know a ball, brother. That's just kind of how it goes. All right, let's run to a break. Now when we come back, we get to some National Football League. Talk a little super wild card weekend next. I am Rob. He is Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nailed it. Stuck the landing. 10 out of 10. 9.2 from the French judge.
All right. You. There was an intake of breath. It usually takes you a little bit longer to speak. So every once in a while, I mistime it. Oh, stop it. Is this your way of making me pay?
No, I just really like all these.
You would.
That one, I don't know how to tell you how much joy the Gronk laugh brings me. The answer is so very much.
Just proof that Aaron Rodgers' biopic was absolutely right in her depiction of Gronk.
The NFL playoffs begin this weekend with a wild card round. Ladies and gentlemen, let us take a stroll through some of these games from the wild card round that begins Saturday at 4:30 p.m. We will finish up on Monday nights, and six teams will advance to the divisional round next weekend to join the Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. Let us get started. We start, great one, with the Eagles and the Packers. This one's interesting because of The quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, has missed two straight games after a concussion. He is back at practice, but he does have to still be cleared after practicing by an independent neurologist. We will see if that is the case. He is right now expected to be ready for Sunday's game, but we will find out. And even if he does, he's missed almost three full games with a concussion before he comes back. I have said it a couple of times so far. I am not a believer in the Green Bay Packers. All due respect to the Pack fan and my dog Shane, who I met at the well the other day, big Pack guy. I hope this doesn't end our working relationship, Shane, but I am not a Packers believer. Here are the teams that they played this season, great one, that are going to the playoffs. They played the Philadelphia Eagles. They lost to that team. They beat the bad Colts, the bad Titans. They played the Vikings. They lost to that team. They did beat the LA Rams. I believe there are two teams in playoff games they beat. They barely edged out the LA Rams. And remember, this is LA when like Puka Nacua was hurt. This is not the LA team that's going to the playoffs, and they barely beat them. They beat the Cardinals. They beat the Texans. Other playoff game they won. They beat two playoff teams. They beat them by 2 points. And if this wasn't the game that they left Stephon Diggs, I think it was maybe the game before, this was not a full-strength Texans team. No team is full-strength once the season starts. We know that. But these were real dinged up playoff teams. They beat the Jags. They lost to the Lions. They beat the Bears, the 49ers, the Dolphins. They lost to the Lions. They beat the Seahawks and the Saints. They lost to the Vikings, and they lost to the Bears. I don't believe in this Green Bay Packer team. And then you add into the equation that Jordan Love is at least a little dinged up, right? He had that wrist injury that caused him to leave the Chicago game.
So you don't want to say overrated or anything like that?
I do think he's overrated. But I also think he's overrated and now he's dinged up. I think he's fine. I think he's good. He ain't, like, the Packers aren't a team, I think. The Packers aren't a team where if things are going poorly, they go, that's okay because quarterback, right? I do think there are some teams that can do that. I think the Ravens, I think the Chiefs, I think the Bills. These are teams that can go, even if it's going poorly out there, that's okay because quarterback. I don't put Jordan Love in that equation just yet. Well, not just yet. I don't put Jordan Love in that equation, period. And frankly, respectfully, I don't think he's going to get there. I think he's good. I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl with the right team having a good day around him. I think if Jordan Lovett has a day off, the Packers are cooked. I think if the Packers have a day off, the Packers are cooked. The Eagles are 5-point favorites in this game, though, and I think that's about the right number. I'm going to take Eagles win this by a tutty.
Yeah, this whole year, I thought the Eagles were on the decline. At least it seemed that way. But here they are at the end of the year playing good football. It's going to depend on how the quarterback does coming back from the injury. And maybe just he got some
rest. Who do you trust more, a mildly dinged up wrist with Jordan Love or a guy that missed three games but has been to a Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Jalen
Hurts. I am too. And I'm not a big, like, I think Jalen Hurts is another guy, like, really good, but you would need to have guys around him. Like, I don't think he's carry the team by himself good. I'm going to go Jalen Hurts over
they
Jordan.
They do. They have a pretty good running back.
They do. That's Saquon Katz.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy before.
He's got some, as the kids say, boogie. He can go. Buccaneers Commanders. This one's really interesting because Jaden Daniels set a rookie quarterback record with 891 rushing yards. And, oh, by the way, had a passer rating over 100. Fourth all-time amongst rookies. And then on the other side there, you want to talk about a guy who has put this team on his back, who has dragged them to wins, who has been a fourth quarter absolute superhero. It's Baker Mayfield, who has put this team, he did it against the Saints in week 18. He did it against the Saints last time out. Like, he has repeatedly worn this Tampa Bay team like a backpack and gotten them to the top of the mountain. Love Baker. Pull him for Baker. Reality here is I think the Commanders have hit a next level. And I think Jaden Daniels, I would be scared of this moment for a rookie quarterback if Jaden Daniels hadn't shown me superstar moment after superstar moment all season long. I would have been scared of this moment for a rookie quarterback if it wasn't for the fact, how many games did Jaden Daniels win on a walk-off fourth quarter drive? Like five? Like that dude has been in the pressure cooker. He has. But this team's got a vibe and a culture around it, and Jaden Daniels is all bought into that. I'm taking the Commanders in an upset road victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Lonzo.
Is that an upset victory?
Yes. Bucks are favored by three.
Okay.
Not much of one. It ain't like shock the world upset, but yes.
All right. For some reason, I thought Tampa Bay would be the underdog.
Now, in fairness, they are at home in Tampa, and you get three. So Vegas considers this two evenly matched teams.
So it's a push.
So it's a pick'em game, okay. But yeah. On the line by being at home, Tampa's favored by three.
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay because of experience and because of home field.
It's a fair advantage. They do have a really cool pirate ship.
I don't think they go beyond this. I'm guessing if you're in the stadium, they score a touchdown and you hear that cannon go off, you don't want to hear it again. You hear it again, and then you start going, oh, crap, we're way behind. The cannon keeps going off, and then you get in your head. Maybe. I don't know.
And cannons are cool. Rams-Vikings. This one on Monday night. I think the Vikings are cooked, dude, which is too bad because all year long I was screaming from the rooftops. I know we like Detroit and Dan Campbell because they're really funny and they got this tough, gritty, blue-collar mentality about them, and that's awesome. Why is no one talking about the Minnesota Vikings, who have literally had the same record as Detroit all season long? And I was all on board with Sammy D and the Minnesota Vikings. They got exposed by the Detroit Lions last week. They got flat out entirely, top to bottom, left to right, up and down, back and forth, exposed by the Lions. And it's not the end of the world except for Sean McVay is a mad scientist who sees things on tape that even I, Rob Brown, certified knower of ball, maybe don't catch every little tendency, every little habit, whatever. Detroit put the blueprint for beating Minnesota down on film, and Sean McVay is not a joke. Lonzo, give me the LA Rams in an upset.
Just because you have a blueprint does not mean you have the architects to make the
That's
building.
Fair.
And the Detroit defense, a lot better than LA's defense. I'm going with Minnesota.
I'd be careful about saying a lot.
Why are they going to come and get me? This is. I'm going with Minnesota. I'm going with Sam Darnold winning a playoff game
down the stretch.
Has Sam Darnold ever been in the playoffs? I mean, he was with San Francisco, but he was not a backup.
As a starter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Down the stretch, for the LA Rams. In the final four games of the season where they were in the cooker as far as getting into the playoffs, they allowed 6 points, 9 points, 9 points, and they gave up 25 to the Seahawks, but they had already locked the division up, so it didn't matter. In the final three games where they were actually playing for something, their defense allowed 6, 9, and 9. That's a pretty good defense behind Jared Verse. I'd be real careful about that defense. So going with the Vikings, I'm going with the Rams.
Is it the Detroit defense, though?
Detroit Lions.
Is it? That's all I'm saying.
No.
Yeah.
But it might be with the injuries, because they lost another, two guys in that Vikings game. They're down to, three of their starting 11. Still real good because it's a mentality culture thing, but at some point, mentality and culture doesn't make up for a step backwards in talent, and it is clearly a step backwards in talent. We'll see. Broncos on the road at the Buffalo Bills. The Broncos' strength of their team is the pass rush. I don't think it matters with Josh Allen on the other side. If there's a quarterback that I want against the pass rush, it's Josh Allen, maybe even more so than Lamar Jackson. If the Broncos win this, it would be the biggest upset of the first round. Nobody sacks Josh Allen. Give me Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, and the Buffalo Bills by a lot.
All right. I know what you're going to say when I do this. I know what you're going to say.
Pick Denver.
The biggest upset of the playoffs.
Wait, can you hang on a second until I get all my hater clips lined back up?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Denver has a very experienced coach who's actually won in the playoffs and won a Super Bowl. Something that hasn't happened on the other side.
When that happened?
Doesn't matter. Some teams never win in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time Buffalo was in the Super Bowl? There's a lot of hype about Buffalo. I don't think they're going to take Denver seriously. I don't think they're going to take Bo Nix seriously. And I think that Denver upsets Buffalo. All right, so here's the thing. So the people who were watching when Mario was on, and I already put that out there a little bit, and the reaction from you two was hilarious to the point where people were going, what was that? Exactly, because you can't fathom in your minds that that is a possibility.
Correct.
And it's definitely a possibility, and part of it is because of a low-burning hatred for the coach.
No. It's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
That's what we see it.
So let me get this right.
I'm going to speak for we. You do that a lot.
Your anti-Josh Allen campaign, which has been raging for years now, that's not why you picked
Denver. I'm not anti-Josh Allen. I think that his fiance is awesome, and I loved her in Hawkeye.
Oh, my bad, Jim. That's on me. That's my bad.
So if you're going to pick an upset this week.
It ain't this one.
Okay.
I was power ranking probable upsets, this and Ravens Steelers are at the bottom of the list, which is our next game, Ravens Steelers. Baltimore. I don't know what happened to the Steelers. The Steelers are cooked. I don't know what happened to them. They're cooked.
I know what happened to the Steelers. Russell Wilson happened to the Steelers. Mm-hmm, and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Definitely. All and entirely.
Which means, since you agree with me that Baltimore is going to win, you agree that the problem is Russell Wilson.
No, that's not how things work.
It is. That's not how we all heard that. The entire world heard what you just said, that Russell Wilson is the problem.
No, not even kind of, sort of, a little bit, maybe, possibly, potentially close to what I said. All right, we'll pick the rest of these games.
Let's ride home, because they're going home.
And we'll get you set up. We'll let you know the latest weather information as well as finish up our super wild card weekend picks when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, talking NFL super wild card weekend here as we wrap up the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
So you're just, you sound like the Cookie Crisp dog when you do that. Is that where you got that from?
What I was going for was the rated R superstar.
Okay. Maybe he got it from
But then the I just got told thing. I sounded more like the Cookie Crisp dog.
You know who I'm talking about, though, right?
That is officially the last time I will ever do that bit. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Super Wild Card Weekend. Hope we all enjoy Super Wild Card Weekend.
I apologize to everyone that I caused him to not do it again, but he'll forget. Like 5 minutes from now, he'll still do it.
Mm-mm. No, I'm never going to have anybody else say, wow, Rob, that sounds like the Cookie Crisp.
Do you not like the Cookie Crisp dog?
You understand there's a difference between like and totally cool with having my entire career-centric activity compared to it.
It was one word that you've been doing. You haven't done that forever. Just in the back of your mind, you were thinking of cookies and milk.
Ladies
and
gentlemen,
how delicious they are.
Upcoming the NFL Super Wild Card Weekend.
You don't have to go NPR. Just, you know.
We've gotten through all but two of the games. Ravens-Steelers is one of the two remaining this weekend. The Ravens won in week 16. The Ravens have lost four of Jackson's five career starts against the Steelers. That was raw professionalism for me. And he had just five passing touchdowns to eight interceptions against that team. But they knocked off the Steelers 34-17 a few weeks ago and have gotten even better since then. I think there is...
I commend you. That was tactical.
You're damn right it was. You're damn right it was. I'm going with the Ravens to roll here. And it does have a lot to do with the fact that the Steelers have shifted backwards. And I'm not just talking. Yes, Russell Wilson is included in that conversation. No, Russell Wilson is not the only person to blame in that conversation.
Pickens is a problem. The defense is a problem. And
I agree.
It seems to be enough complaints about player against player saying, well, that guy needs to know it's not just about him. It's about the team. There's been quite a bit of that out there. So is this the
which is interesting because Mike Tomlin's whole thing has been culture, right? It's always been culture.
Did he lose the team?
I I mean, it's hard to say no, right? It's hard to say no. Defense suddenly giving up 27, 34, and 29, three out of the last four. The last game that they did not give up more than 20, they give up 19 to the Bengals. But they were both playing for the division in that spot, and they lost that game. So it's hard to say no. In fact, I've seen a couple of spots. Who was it the other day? I don't remember. One of the big name, big talking heads on ESPN the other day said something to the tune of, I want to say he said it about New England, Tennessee, one of the bad teams. He said, I'll tell you what I'd do right now. I would call the Steelers and I would ask about a trade for Mike Tomlin, because the one thing that Mike Tomlin can do is culture build. He built this culture in Pittsburgh that has led to all these 10-win seasons. And I'm like, you know, it's not unfair, except for I would look at these last 5 weeks of the season. Because, yeah, I mean, they beat the Browns in the last win they had, which was five games ago. But they won that game, 27-14 with a late score, if I recall correctly. And it was the Browns. It wasn't an impressive win. It wasn't something that I hang the hat on and go, yeah, we lost four, but look at what we did before that. And, you know, then we just went on a down streak. This team got Mike Tomlin, I think, great one. This team got Mike Tomlin to his 10 wins when they beat the Browns. Then I think they quit. That ain't the mark of a good culture. I would tell you right now, the offseason head coaching carousel hot take I have is I think the Steelers should separate from Mike Tomlin. I know he's never had a winning season, but what does that do for you? What's that accomplish?
You know, that's almost as bad as my Denver's going to upset Buffalo.
I don't think it is.
They're not going to get rid of Tomlin.
I didn't say they are going to. I said they should. I would trade him. Like, you can trade head coaches now.
You can do that. That's
I would true. Trade Mike Tomlin straight up. I'd be on the horn with, you know what I would do? I would wait
So if your team traded for Mike Tomlin and your team is looking for a coach, would you be okay with that?
I mean, I don't really care right now because my team has maybe the worst head coaching vacancy that's been available in decades at this point. We're $74 million over the salary cap. Actually, it came down a little bit because Ryan Ramczyk, our starting guard, just retired, and that took $17 million off the book. So now we're down to only, $60 million over the cap. The next closest team is the Detroit Lions at $16 million over the cap. It's a bad spot. I would, if I was the Steelers, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd wait until Ben Johnson gets hired, which will be probably days after the Super Bowl. I would hang on right now. I wouldn't say a word. I'd hang on. And I would wait until Ben Johnson got hired. Then I would find out every team that tried to get Ben Johnson, and I would call every one of them. And I would go, Mike Tomlin's on the block. Highest bidder. Who wants him? I would trade Mike Tomlin. Because while great, you've never had a losing season. 20-some-odd seasons of winning football. Great. What's that done for the Steelers lately? Not much, right? Not much. And this year, with four consecutive losses to end this season. And on top of that, one more spot. Because I have said two things about Russell Wilson this year, repeatedly. Number one, I don't think what happened in Denver was Russell Wilson's fault. I think it was Denver's fault. And I agree that it had a lot to do with the entitlement and the private office and the coaches and all that. Who let him have those things? The Denver. This is like, there's nothing I love more than when parents go out there and whine and moan about participation trophies for kids. Who gave them to the kids? The kids didn't go buy their own participation trophies. Someone gave it to them. It's kind of the same thing here. I'm going to go get the bag. As I've said 100 times, do I deserve my own separate private office with its own luxury bathroom and pinball machine and basketball goal and all that? No. But if the boss came in here today and said, hey, Rob Brown, we're going to build a third story on this building, and the whole third story is going to be your office, basketball court, pinball machine, catering section, Do I think I deserve that? No. Would I take it? You're damn right I would.
By the way, new pinball machines introduced at CES. When you're done, you can take your phone and put it on a barcode, and it will save your progress. The next time you come to play pinball, you start right back where
you
were.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty solid. I would still take it. Because get the bag, young man. If somebody's going to make you an offer, take the bag offer. If somebody came to Russell Wilson and said, hey, would you like your own private office? Yeah. Yeah, it turns out I would. Yeah, you know who else would?
Everybody. I don't think it was offered. I think he demanded.
As I said earlier with Mick Cronin, as I've said earlier with who was the Carson Beck situation. me.
If you think the player is entitled, don't give them the stuff. You're allowed to say no.
Why is this so hard? Well, these players are all so entitled now. Then don't give them the stuff.
Well, in some cases, like may have been the case in Denver, I don't know, the owner may have given something to given Russell Wilson all that stuff. And then the new coach comes in and is like, what?
Still? Not the quarterback's fault. I don't care if the boss downstairs comes up and says rob third story private office with a basketball gym and a pinball machine, or if the direct report comes up, or if the janitor comes up and goes, hey, it turns out we have a third story up there private office. You want it? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm going for it. He got the bag. Of course, take the bag. If you get the bag, get the bag. You want the bag? Take the bag.
You're not getting a private office. You keep pushing that, but it's not.
I'm optimistic.
It's not happening.
I'm optimistic. Other feature players on stations around here have their own private office. I'm just saying.
Yeah, only one.
That's more than me.
Some don't have an office at all.
Okay, fine. So, fine. Build a third story office with a basketball goal and a pinball machine, and Lonzo and I will both go up there.
Okay, because you know if they were to do that, of course I would say yes, although that would be another flight of stairs. As long as they can fix the elevator so it would go up there. Right now would be a problem.
Suffer through it, Grandpa. We're going to the third story.
Can we have a pool table
that
also?
Doesn't exist. I am not going to fault Russell Wilson. I am going to say this, though. There was one more thing I said about Russell Wilson a bunch of times, and that thing was this dude is corny as hell. He's plastic, he's manufactured, he's cheesy, he's corny. He's a, frankly, unlikable person.
Did we get to all the games?
No, there was one more. But I got to finish this Russell Wilson thought or else my brain's not going to settle down. Okay. Russell Wilson is cheesy, he's corny, he's plastic, he's manufactured, and he is unlikable. He is one of a few NFL players that I'm like, I couldn't get along. There was a video of him going up to Cam Ward after their last loss, and he's like, hey, dog, hey, big dog, we're going to win the next four. Stay with me, all right, dog? And Cam Ward's like, bro, get away from me, you freaking weirdo.
Does he remind you of Ricochet a little bit?
He does.
Yeah.
It's fake, it's manufactured, the aura doesn't exist. Texans Chargers, Lonzo.
Chargers win.
Yep, same thing. Not just win, I think they comfortably win this game. Because I think what they do is they just run the ball and play keep away. I think they run the ball and play keep away. On top of that, everything, like the entire Texans defense is set up around Anderson and Hunter to get to the quarterback. So don't do that. Just run where those guys aren't. Keep the ball. Kill the guy. Go the under in this game, too, because I don't think there's a ton of points scored. But we'll see. Give me the Chargers as well.
All right, let's look around the world.
I really want a basketball court in the office now.
Where would there be room?
I didn't say I know how to do it.
You will knock something down. And a lot of stuff in there that I have is worth a lot of money. I'm just saying. All right.
Ooh, 1%er over here.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Make sure it only bounces on your side and break all your stuff.
I have a lot of money
anyway,
over here.
Anyway, we can. If you want to break all your stuff, go ahead. Just don't let it bounce on my side of the room. The first thing that's Xing is horns down. I don't know why, but it's Xing for some reason.
Don't forget, people, that is that's hate speech. Okay, they're offensive. I almost did it on the stream.
Can you? I know people.
Nobody likes Texas.
I know you can't. I know
that's why it's trending.
I know people hate the wave. Can you like do the wave as horns down? That would be kind of cool. I think.
Nobody likes Texas. It is absolutely hilarious, and I am. You know how I know nobody likes Texas? Because everybody's pooping on Texas, and they're playing Ohio State. And people are pooping on Texas.
What's that? I don't get what that means.
Nobody likes Ohio State either.
That is not true. That's absolutely not true. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Hoda.
As in Cotby?
Is that how you say the last name?
Yeah, Hoda Cotby.
I thought it was Kotb. I thought it was Hoda Kotb.
Is it her birthday?
No, it's her last day.
On a show. Okay.
Why would I say
I don't know.
Last day as in death?
I don't know. I was like, that's a weird way to put that. And then I was like, that's a weird thing to
Rob,
say.
Yeah, Rob, they're pulling the plug today. It's her last day.
Rip, no. Hoda Cotby.
It's her last day on it's what? Good Morning America.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Something?
Yeah. All right, got it now.
So,
got it now.
A lot of celebrities coming out to tell her.
I will say this. A lot of people hate on her, and I get it. I'm going to tell you straight up. If I could get a show that they paid me to drink wine while I talked, I'd take it too.
The Saturday Night Live skits making fun of her is how I first discovered her. I'm glad she won't be on the parade anymore. Her face doesn't move. The next thing that's Xing is Samoa Joe.
Did he return this week? Fingers crossed.
He did not. And I got to be honest, I don't know why Samoa Joe is trending. I'm looking at him, number one trending, at least on mine. I've tried to look it up, trying to figure out why. I think it's more like people are wanting to know where he is. He just left to film the second season of Twisted Metal.
Which, by the way, I've watched two episodes of.
Yeah, I watched a couple
of episodes.
I really
need to get back around to that.
Yeah,
I really
me too.
Liked it.
It's one of those things where something else came out,
yep.
I started watching it, and it's like, I'm going to watch that next week, and I never got back to
it.
Yeah, so I don't know why, but a lot of people speculating that he's taking on another acting role somewhere. And then there's other speculation that he'll be the next guy finding his way back to the WWE.
I don't know, man. Like they made him an absolute dog for a minute there in AEW, and he was cooking. But
they did.
I'll tell you what AEW
is
going to have
good,
to do.
But he's too often hurt, and that's the problem.
That is a big problem. They are going to have to get to a point at some point where they stop just circling the belt on the same five dudes. They just have to.
And finally, the last thing that's Xing, and this is a question I've asked Rob several times, so I'm going to ask him again. Look out the window right there.
I don't know what a snow cloud looks like. Stop asking me. I don't know. It's a cloud. It's gray. It's all
really?
Over the place.
Really?
Maybe.
That's just one cloud? Because I don't see, I don't see separation anywhere. That's just like a blanket, isn't it?
Hey, Google. What does a snow cloud look like?
Snow clouds, typically called nimbostratus clouds, often look like dark gray, thick blankets.
Check.
They tend to cover the entire sky, blocking out the sun completely.
Check.
Uniform and featureless. Unlike some clouds with distinct shapes, nimbostratus clouds often appear as a flat, featureless layer.
Check.
Wet appearance. They sometimes have a slightly fuzzy or indistinct edge, giving them a wet look.
Check. They're wet clouds. They're big, gray, uniform, wet clouds.
Well,
check. That's a snow cloud.
It also mentioned what I had said before, a blanket. I mean, it's like a big old gray blanket. That's what it is. That's what we got going on tonight, today. Be careful out there.
Be careful out there.
If you see a flake, don't panic.
Be careful out there today. Be careful out there over the weekend. I need you all good and ready to roll on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. And if it snows, don't drive at all. Just stay home. Enjoy your snow day. And we will see you all back here again on Monday morning for the triumphant return of the Rob Brown Show. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Have a good weekend. Hasta luego, muchachos. Later.